If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hi, I'm Niamh... Hi, I'm Gerard Farrelly.
And I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And you're listening to Agony Rants. Welcome, listener. Welcome, welcome. Once again to the show that will heal your life, fix your world, change your perception of your Monday.
Holy God, that's an awful lot.
It's a lot to expect from us, but Niamh, we will deliver. We will deliver. It's the show where a Eurovision winner and a comedian fix everything.
Well, we do stuff. We talk about stuff. And, you know, I think we bring a different energy to things sometimes. Do you not think so?
Yeah, I know. But like changing the energy, that's very vague, Niamh.
Okay.
Making things better.
I'm very zen. I'm still very zen from coming home. You know, my big walk. Listen, you haven't spoken about the fact that I've done 634 kilometres enough.
You've been doing enough for the two of us.
I've walked from Lisbon all the way up to Santiago. I've walked the length
of
Portugal.
Over 4 years.
Look, it doesn't matter how long it takes, right? I'm very time poor, right? I have other things to be doing. But it doesn't take away from the fact that I'm very zen now. I'm incredibly zen about it.
How zen, though? Like, I mean, I'm sure, like, that when you came home.
Yeah.
Do you not just, like, your case there, order a pizza, and you're like, now I have to unpack that case. And then it all just falls away.
We know that happens no matter what you're doing, right? No matter what you're doing. But, you know, I made a conscious effort this time to really think about all the things. And I was getting lovely mantras in my head. You know, I love my little mantras and things that I say.
Mantra?
Well, you know, your tenets that you live your life. And, you know, like my feed the family, feed the soul one. And, you know, all these things that
mine is, the world is full of pricks. No wonder you're miserable.
All true.
Yeah, anytime anything goes wrong, sure. What other way could it be, girl? The world's full of dickheads.
Listen, I found the perfect card for you recently. It's like a Banksy rat, you know, the way they kind of have that Banksy art, right? And on it says, I'm up and I'm dressed. What more do you want? I want to send it to you.
That's it. That's, I'm going to send that to you. That's absolutely perfect.
I know. But so I said, every step is a choice. That's what I was doing the whole way through. So everything I'm doing is a choice. So even sitting here with you is a choice. Isn't that nice?
No, Niamh, that wouldn't work. Every step is a choice because I just go, well, then I'm not taking another. I'm sitting down. That's what I'm doing. That is also a choice.
Let's be honest. I don't ever envisage a time when you'll be doing that kind of walking with me. I mean,
my boyfriend did suggest it because I was talking to you. Like, I was talking to him about you.
Yeah,
Because I was like, Niamh's finished her comedian. Well, I mean, I didn't say it like that. I was like, Niamh's finished her comedian.
Yeah, I won't hear the end.
Yeah, and my boyfriend was like, do you want to do the Camino? I said, absolutely not.
No, I know. But
no,
listen,
I don't.
He doesn't want to do it with you either after the experience I had in Cyprus with you.
No, he doesn't.
He's
had much worse experiences. The first holiday we ever went on together, we went to Rome in September.
Oh,
right?
Gosh.
Now,
I didn't
check the weather. Because I assumed it would be freezing. So I was packed with my winter woolies. I didn't realise it was bacon. There wasn't shorts to be had in the shops because they're very fashionable.
They are.
So they were all their winter woolies were in the shops. I was over there with my big jacket and my jeans.
Dying.
There was a public transport strike. So we had to walk absolutely everywhere. And my other half wanted to see and show me everything because it was, you know, love.
Did he bring you on the hills?
I want to hold your hand in the Colosseum.
All of the hills
I was like,
of the
I want
room.
To punch you in the face in the Vatican. Every single night I went to bed in Rome saying, this is the end, it's over now. Break up and tomorrow we're getting a plane.
And here we are many years later. How long ago was that though?
See, that is an absolute testament to my procrastination. Well, Niamh, I've been travelling as well.
Oh, tell me.
I went to Iceland.
I did
shows in Gothenburg and Iceland with Sarah Millican. And do you know what? It was one of those things that I had they were kind of like in the diary, but I didn't, I just forgot about it.
I know.
I just had Sarah, Europe.
Okay, that's specific.
I didn't really know where we were going until a couple of days before, and I was like, oh my God, it's Iceland and Gothenburg.
I am so, very excited. I would love to go to Iceland.
It's, you know, it's one of those places that I've always wanted to visit, but I never thought to go. Because I've checked it out a couple of times. Like when my boyfriend turned 40, I was like, oh, we should go a little trip to Iceland. But all the flights are 7 in the morning. It's like, absolutely not. That's a very bad start to a holiday.
No. Unless you're coming at it from the night before.
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. But the flights are ridiculous. They're all like 7 in the morning. But we did a show in Gothenburg and we flew from Gothenburg to Iceland. And it was very exciting, I have to say.
That is exciting.
It's a place like I've never been anywhere else that was like it.
Wow.
Except it's a bit like Rosslare. Imagine Rosslare had a volcano. That's what it's like.
Oh, well, yeah. You're really selling it here.
Rosslare's lovely.
It is
I'll
lovely.
You know.
Which part of Rosslare? Just the port, like, or
just
what?
The port.
Yeah. So it's all business, is what you're telling me?
It's a bit business. Like, it's one of those places where you will go and you'll see a building that looks like it's in Russia, and then the next building beside it, you look like it was in Italy.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like
mixed architecture.
Mixed architecture.
Is that the case of Rosslare Port? I didn't know that.
No, but Rosslare is a port.
I know
and
that.
And Iceland's also a port.
I know.
That's where I was going with Rosslare.
You know, I kind of get that. In other words, it's not what you think. It's not all volcano living. You're not living in the volcano.
If this is the bit, I wasn't really aware of the volcano.
Oh, did you not
because
know?
Because I was on the way, because I was going from Gothenburg, and again, other half text was like, hope the volcano doesn't go off. And I was like, what volcano? What's happened? Stop it? What? And I had a look. There's like a proper active, like bubbling away.
Yeah.
And even when you're over there, there's a television channel where it's just like a live feed of the volcano.
You remember 2010, right?
I know, yeah. The ash cloud.
The ash cloud. Surely that gives you...
Because you were flying in the ash cloud, wasn't it?
No, I was supposed to... There was a whole thing because it was around the time of the Eurovision. And so... And I was obviously the representative that year. You know, the year I didn't win.
The one where you lost.
Yeah.
Where you lost.
Thanks. Yeah, yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so the thing is we had to race to get there in time to do our rehearsal. And they were closing airports all over the place.
Because of the ash cloud.
Because of the ash cloud. So we... Myself and the head of delegation left early to make sure we got there, because at least if I was there, we could rehearse.
On like a private plane?
No. We were on a ferry from Dublin to
Holyhead.
No, wait to hear this.
No,
wait to hear this. We got a train then from Holyhead down into London in the hopes of getting a flight out of London. The alternative then was to get in on the Eurostar across into Brussels. And actually, we were going to drive all the way up to Norway. I was very excited about that. Now, I would have been wrecked, but I would have loved that.
Do you want to represent us in the Eurovision?
No, but it wasn't their fault.
Will you go by ferry? I won't.
No.
I won't.
We got the last flight.
Come back with a counter offer, please.
I swear to God, we got the last flight out of London, right? And I was raging then because I didn't get to drive that big bridge that goes between Denmark and...
So you flew from London?
We flew from London into Norway. So we're there maybe a day or two ahead, right? So, but we had to be sure that I was there for the Tuesday morning. And then... Tuesday morning, the rest of the delegation flew in because they opened all the airports.
But they dragged you like a...
Oh, no, but we had an adventure. It was lovely.
Nave, you see, this is where we're fundamentally different.
We are different. Every step is a choice.
When somebody says to me, we're going to have an adventure, I say, we're not.
No, I know.
We're absolutely not.
We're
going to sit down, we're going to rethink, and we're going to regroup and come up with a plan that makes this very easy on everybody.
We're more alike than you think.
When I arrived in Iceland, I didn't realize that the volcano was like it's like the, you know, the towers.
Yeah.
Like the Ring's End towers.
Yeah, no, it's right there.
It's just like you're driving and it's just like you can see the fissure there with the glow and you're like,
I know.
What's that? And you're like, the volcano. It's like the why are we driving towards us?
It heats the whole town.
Has nobody here ever seen a movie? Like when the volcano when it starts to glow red, that's when you move away.
I know. But it's been glowing red a long time.
And I'll tell you what we did do as well.
What did you
we
do?
Went out, we went whale watching. Yeah, we went to see a humpback whale freezing.
Did you?
It's absolutely freezing.
No. It would be.
And do you know what upset me?
What?
Right? I'll tell you what upset me.
What upset you?
I had in my case, back at the hotel, I had my dungarees. And I also had a hot water bottle. Right? Now, I will say this to dungaree wearers everywhere. If you haven't put a hot water bottle down the front of your dungarees, you haven't lived. And that was, while we were whale watching, that's all I could think of, was how perfect would this have been if I'd worn my dungarees with my hot water bottle down the front.
And how far down the front is it?
No, it goes right down and sits on your belly. Oh. Now, I have to say, I did, there was a TV license inspector did call to the door there recently to inspect the license. And
you had it in?
Yeah, he did go, this. I've clearly caught this man in the middle of a mental health crisis.
What shape is the water bottle? Because you can get lots of different
it's a
proper,
it's a, like it's a normal water bottle with like a furry, like a furry sack. Like myself, Niamh. Oblong with a furry sack. Just like me. It's the end of Glamourhammer. Niamh, enough is enough. It's done. It's done. Okay. I have 3 shows left. I will be in PSLC, the Port Marnock Sports and Leisure Centre. I know.
Is that beside Tamango's?
I'm surprised too.
Is that beside Tamango's where the gang goes?
It could be Tamango's.
Okay.
The PSLC, so I'm sure I'll be doing my show and there'll be people coming in looking for Pilates. But anyway,
love it.
In Port Marnock, I'll be there on the 27th of April. And then I will be in Strabane on the 8th of May.
Oh.
And then I will be in the Civic on the 8th of June.
Just randomly.
Yeah, Strabane, I think it's the 8th of May. It's May anyway, Strabane.
Fabulous.
If you want to buy tickets, it's garofarley.com or through the link on my Instagram bio. And that's it, done.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We are pausing for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network. If you would like to support the show, you could do so by paying as little as €5 per month. And in return for that, you will get bonus content from us and all of the shows in the Head Stuff Podcast Network. Mm-hmm. Our bonus content, Niamh?
Our bonus content is Vintage Rants, and we love it.
We love Vintage Rants.
It's so fun. It's so fun because we basically take old problems and solve them and then totally ridicule the people who wrote.
So we would love you to join us for that. Mm-hmm. It comes out every 2 weeks. Yeah. And you'll also get all of the bonus content from all of the other shows on the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
But more importantly, what about Double Love?
Double Love. That is the show that we're cross-promoting. And that is a show. It's a podcast about Sweet Valley High. Did you read Sweet Valley High?
No, I kind of missed that out. I was slightly too old when they came out, but my sister was obsessed.
With Sweet Valley High? Mm. Loved Sweet Valley High, the TV show. Because in their bonus content, they review the TV show.
Oh.
But on the main feed, they review the books. And it's Karen and Anna, and they're absolutely hilarious. Have a little listen to the clip.
This is how it's always been.
Double Love is a podcast in which we explore the strange and terrifying world of Sweet Valley High, book by book. Join me, Anna Carey.
And me, Karen Moynihan.
As we revisit one of the maddest series of books ever written or ghostwritten.
If you ever read about Elizabeth and Jessica, the perfect blonde Wakefield twins, then you might enjoy listening to us absolutely tearing them to shreds. Affectionately, of course.
Of course. And even if you didn't, there's still plenty of drama, kidnapping, stolen boyfriends and school dances to entertain you.
Find us on the Head Stuff Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts.
Niamh, we have follow-ups.
We have follow-ups
and we have reviews. We have a review here from somebody called Scart81.
Okay.
Look to this very Monday. Do you know what? Like, I know a 5-star review is a 5-star review, but
it's triggering all his grammar.
I guess it's look forward to this every Monday.
We can put any word we like in that.
Yeah. Niamh and Garrod have a fantastic dynamic.
We do.
Good advice too.
Oh.
That's lovely.
That is really lovely.
That's from Scart81. If you enjoy the show, please do give us a review on whatever platform that you choose to listen because it helps other people find us. And also it keeps, you know, Head Stuff off our back. They are because they're getting ruthless in here.
They're getting new shows, I hear.
They're getting new shows. Yeah, they keep saying that. They keep talking about all the new talent coming in.
I keep waiting for somebody.
You've got all this talent. and you better appreciate it.
Less of the old, like, just, you know, I love 56. I love saying that and watching people go through. Do I tell her she looks younger just to get out of this conversation?
That's because you always have an air of expectation when you say something.
I do.
Yeah, you hold people's gaze.
I do.
Like a psychopath.
You clearly like it. I'm going to say that now. It's clearly not a problem for you, Garode.
Niamh, we have a follow-up. Do you want to read the follow-up?
I will read the follow-up. So, I heard your pod today with the woman who was into her personal trainer. A couple of years ago, I booked sessions.
Now, hold on a second. Just to clarify, this was a woman who was into her personal trainer who was also her brother-in-law.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we're glossing over something quite important.
Yeah. I'm hoping that the people who listen actually know about the story, but I'm going to tell you, it was hilarious when we read it.
It was. It was a woman who started going to the gym with a brother that was a bit nondescript, but all of a sudden he put on the lycra and he was helping her do squats,
and she was having a bit of a fizz, a bit of a fizz, you know, the lycra,
exactly.
So we recommended, you know, please God, run screaming from the room, don't touch
well him. We did say that it could be a trap.
Oh.
Be a bit careful. Like,
yeah, we did.
This could be a test.
A couple of years ago, I booked sessions with a personal trainer. He was on his late 20s and absolutely ripped. On,
nice.
Maybe in. I did become a little obsessed with him.
Of course you did.
I was in a relationship at the time, so that did suffer. I ended up having a very unsatisfying affair with him because they always promise so much.
That's on you. If your affair with a 24-year-old ripped personal trainer was unsatisfying, that's on you.
I disagree. Sometimes they promise more than they give. That's all I'm going to say. It turns out that he was also riding about three other of his clients that I knew of and was also bisexual. I know this because recently my 20-year-old nephew posted a picture of him or with him in a gay bar. Oh, God.
Oh, that's very depressing.
Oh, my God. I'd be suicidal. Wouldn't advise anyone to get involved with their trainer. It doesn't lead anywhere good. Imagine getting that text.
Imagine sleeping with somebody that treated you like dirt and then you see your nephew snogging them in a bar. That's very grim. The thing about personal trainers is I do think that there's a level of narcissism going on with them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's all about attention. I don't think it's even sexual, to be perfectly honest with you. I think it's about, look at my lovely body.
Well, there's an element.
And I'm absolutely willing to look, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm. They put a lot of work into that.
They do. They absolutely do, and it should be rewarded. However, I think conflating you being their audience and you being their lover, very different things.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of work goes into that, and to be honest with you, their energy goes into other things other than getting good at sex.
I know, yeah.
Quite often, I'm not saying that they're not good about sex. You know what I mean? You know.
But no, I'm sure they're wonderful because they have like those calves.
Great stamina.
Yeah. God, I might have a glass of wine.
We should have at least a glass of wine.
Have a glass of wine doing
maybe
this podcast.
Maybe some tapas in the middle of us here.
Just talk about nice thighs.
I love in your thighs.
In your
Did you see the Vintage Rants follow-up? Did you see that one? Is this the story about the woman who wrote in to Anne? You remember the vicar's wife, Anne?
Yeah, if you didn't hear this, because if you're not a subscriber, there was on Vintage Rants where we talk about a problem that was an agony aunt's problem from days of yore. There was a problem where
older woman, right?
Yes.
And she was friends with this girl for years and years and years.
She was about 40, wasn't
she? Yeah, and her family was their family and vice versa, right? Her and her friend, I'm going to say Sophie is in my mind. I don't know why it is, but. Anyway, her friend and her were friends from school.
Since they were children.
And she knew the parents really well. But she went to visit one day and only the dad was at home. And they had, during their second bottle of wine, she went to get something off a shelf and she felt him.
Oh, and he grabbed
feeling
her
up. Do you remember?
Yeah, and then they had an affair.
And she's having an affair and she didn't know how to continue it, considering she didn't want to hurt the friend.
Yeah,
she was
riding her friend's da.
Yeah,
and she didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings.
And the mother was in her early 80s.
I know, yeah, he was in his 70s. Yeah. Vintage Rants follow up. Just listened and you said you loved a love story that came from a blow up, and this immediately came to mind. To cut it short, on the night of our sixth form formal, which is Deb's for us Southerners. The after party was at my bestie's dad's house 6 months before he had been released from jail on the Good Friday Agreement. Okay.
I know roughly when this was.
Okay. The morning after, I went into the kitchen to get my uniform from the cupboard under the stairs, as we all had to be in school, which was a nightmare.
Yeah, it is a nightmare.
I walked in and her da is being straddled by a girl in our class. Well, he had just been in prison.
Yeah, to be fair.
Jesus Christ. He was 40 and she had just turned 18. There was obviously a huge blow up in the time following, but they got married and had 3 kids.
Well, that's good, isn't it? I always like a happy ending.
What? Yeah, so did he.
But I feel the use of there was obviously huge blow-ups after the Good Friday Agreement situation.
Yeah.
He was in jail. I'd say there was a few blow-ups before he went in.
Well, if you didn't hear that, that's on last week's episode of Vintage Rants. Yeah. You can check that out.
This is a long problem.
This is a long problem. Do you want to read it?
And it's quite sad.
This is quite sad.
But I have many emotions reading it. Hey, you fabulous pair. I adore this podcast and it's my go-to listen on my commute up and down to Dublin from Wexford for work. I only wish you had more episodes per week. Well, so do we, don't we?
No, okay. We absolutely don't, Maeve. One episode is by far enough.
I mean, it's easy for me to say that because he does all the work. I met and fell madly in love with my ex 4 years ago. It was a total dream. From our first date, I knew he was special. And from day one, we became inseparable and didn't spend a day apart for 4 years. He moved in a few months later and I was the happiest I've ever been. A year later, I proposed on a beach in Donegal and couldn't wait to spend the rest of my life with this man. Oh my gosh. He was right by my side for some monumental moments in my life, like meeting my birth family for the first time and burying both my dads 6 months apart when they passed.
Oh no.
I also got very sick too, and he was by my hospital bedside every step of the way. Wow. Through all the troubles, I knew he had my back as we utterly adored each other, telling each other how much we loved each other several times a day. Everyone used to say, look at how in love you two are. We would argue over stupid things like any other couple, but it was really always just silly stuff. He, however, had the belief that if we really loved each other, that we should never argue. Well, that's not true.
Okay.
But I always said that this it was normal to argue and every couple did it. Some of my favourite moments with my husband is when we argue.
I love a row.
I love a good row. Especially because we usually end up laughing in the middle of it because, you know, it doesn't make any sense what we're doing. Anyway, often we would argue about the fact that we shouldn't argue. Okay, there you go. We both had strong personalities and would be on the defence when we argued. But 10 minutes later, we would realise that we both agreed on whatever the topic was and we would move on. Or at least I would. But overall, we were very close and a very happy couple. Or at least that is what he led me to believe. As we approached the wedding, I was getting very excited. Our dream wedding was forming. I couldn't wait and it was going to be amazing. I woke up on the morning a month before our wedding and I turned to him and said, wow, we are getting married in a month. It's so exciting. And out of the blue, he said, I don't want to marry you, and moved out an hour later.
Oh no.
Holy God. I was in shock. It was so out of the blue. I was utterly devastated and he really gave me no reason except it's because we argue, which I was baffled about because we argued no more than any other couple would. He cancelled the wedding and I lost a fair amount of money. Oh, I was God. Just so sad and baffled as to why we ended. I missed him so much. We met a couple of weeks later and ended up getting back together. Oh, no, that's not. No. We went away for a week to work on us and I thought we were back on track. Fast forward a few months and we were looking to relocate to Wexford for a better life. We had been talking about it for a year. My house sold quickly and a month before we were due to move, again out of the blue, I came home from work one day and he just said it was over and he moved out, all within an hour again. I was shocked as every day I would ask him if he was okay. He kept saying yes and he was happy. So I really was baffled and utterly devastated yet again. A week later, I find out he has sent the most horrific text to all my close friends saying I was abusing him for our entire relationship.
Oh God.
And that he was trapped for 4 years. He slated me, even tried to bring my family into it, saying they told him not to marry me. But that wasn't true. They never said such things to him. lies upon lies. This message was so vile, my friends said they would not let me read it as it was so horrible. Over time, I heard all he had said, though, and thankfully none of my friends believed it or anything he was saying. They said his message was so full of contradictions and none of it made sense.
Jesus.
Here's my dilemma. It's been 7 to 8 months since we split and he made those false accusations. I know it's all lies and so do my friends, but I'm finding it very hard to let go of the betrayal. He broke my heart and then destroyed me. And I can only think it was his way of justifying what he was doing by making all this up. Should I confront him? I feel like I want to put an apology, or do I just let it go and move on? Sorry, I know that was long-winded, but any advice is welcome. Thanks, Brian.
Brian, that's horrendous.
That is
absolutely awful.
Destroying. And my take on this is very simple. The thing is, even if there were difficulties in the relationship, really all of that stuff, the bad message, the sudden abrupt departure with no kind of show, basically that's all on him. What you need to do 100% is to go and talk to someone, not him. You need to stay away from him 100%. You've nothing to close with him. He has his own demons. Whatever's going on with him, let him. You need closure. You need to go and talk to someone. And it can be, and just get closure for yourself and understand how far you've come. I can imagine how devastating this is, but no good thing will come from seeing him again just now.
No, I think you're right, Niamh. I think he's a bollocks.
Yeah.
And I think you should have him killed.
No, well,
I
do not take that out of context.
Here's what I think the problem is, right? I think he's the unfortunate thing of being a bit of a psychopath.
Yeah, a little bit.
And secondly, he's a little bit self-aware.
Yeah.
So he knows that what he's done is absolutely horrendous. Mm-hmm. So what he's trying to do is he's trying to justify his own terrible behavior.
But there's a lot of manipulation in what's happened.
Completely.
Here. It's like, you know, a month before you lost the money, then he comes back into your life, and then suddenly, you know, you're moving somewhere else and you're starting a new life, and then he leaves you to do that on your own.
Also, you don't want to be in a relationship with somebody where you are constantly asking them if they're okay.
No, no.
And you're actually constantly living on tender hooks.
You
like
also
that.
Don't want to be in a relationship where somebody's constantly asking you either. That's kind
of
difficult.
Completely.
So
yeah.
if that's the dynamic of your relationship every
right.
day, you really have to address why you're in that relationship.
Like, I think that if you're in a relationship with somebody that can get up and walk away in an hour.
Yeah.
That's time bomb territory.
Yeah, with no indication apparently.
Yeah, like there's something building up there. And like he says something interesting about that, the fact they had these arguments and then by the end they realized they were on the same side. Now the only reason you're having an argument and then you realize you're on the same side is somebody's given up there.
Someone's poked the bear, or somebody, you know, initially, or, you know, we often resolve our arguments, but it's not that we're on the same side. We just agree to disagree, or, you know, agree the fact that I'm always right. You know, that kind of works out quite well.
Yeah,
no, but you know what I mean? It's kind of a funny thing. So you may have missed some signs here, Brian, to be fair. You may have, but that's not enough to justify somebody just getting up one morning.
Like, that guy's a monster.
He totally blindsided you, not once, but twice. You know, fool me once.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, and it's not on you.
No, it's not on you. You see, because this guy was an absolute psycho. And because of the way he's behaved, you might think, because here's the fundamental problem, and he's probably not going to like me saying this, right?
Like what?
The fundamental problem is Brian is still in love with him.
Yeah, he is, completely.
That's what the problem is.
But I think,
and you think that if you stand in front of him and say, you betrayed me, and he apologises, then you'll feel better. No, you won't.
You won't.
What will happen is you'll just feel...
he'll find a new way to hurt you.
Well, what you'll feel is you'll feel still in love with him, and look, he's given me what I need. And what you need is actually to, like, take the love you feel from and smash it up.
Yeah, no, I think he is still in love with him.
Yeah,
he is.
But
I think there's a fundamental problem here.
But you see, we love a bastard.
We do.
That's the problem.
We love a bad boy. We love a bad boy.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. he put invested all this love in this person, right, for 4 years, this fabulous life. And how difficult it is to discover that that person isn't who you think it is.
Yeah.
Or that they didn't feel, maybe they are the same person, but they didn't feel the same way.
No, but here's the thing.
But that doesn't necessarily negate that time.
He's perfectly entitled
to change his mind.
To change his mind. And he's perfectly entitled to say, do you know what? I'm actually not in love with you. I don't want to marry you. And walk away. But there has to be an indication. Like, you can't just drop that bomb.
No.
You have to have conversations. You have to have...
there is
open,
a process.
Yeah, and I think if you're getting married, you should be having those conversations.
But essentially, but lots of people are getting married, they get caught up in the run of it. And, you know, we know that.
It does,
you know,
become about cakes.
It comes, and then suddenly you think, well, I can't stop this now, we're so far down the road. And then you get, it's not unusual in all, you know, types of relationships that happens. So you can forgive that once. But this is essentially twice now. He's come in, dropped a bomb in your life, and then left.
Yeah, and you've been, like, what's sad about this is you've been very generous because you gave him a second chance. Mm-hmm. And you gave him a second chance that he didn't deserve, in fairness.
Well, yeah, pretty much. And I understand. And I think if you've been in love with long people, you think, you know, I remember sometime in one of my, in my first relationship, remember thinking that, you know, oh, I have to give it another chance because we're so in love and all these ups and downs are just the rocky road of everything. But actually... that if you're having a rocky road before life becomes, you know, at the what we would call the honeymoon period,
yeah,
it's going to get worse after when all this stuff comes in. Honestly, I think you're well rid at this point, but you, what you need to be now is well rid of how you ratify how you felt there. And I think in some ways we hold on to how we felt about them because if we admit that they were horrible to us in that moment, that
you
it will negate who you are. But actually, you were open to love and you gave him love twice and he rejected it in the harshest way. In the harshest way. And actually, that's on him. It's not on you. But I would love you to go and talk to someone, not him. You don't need
need closure I don't think you should be talking to him again. And the other thing is, though, we are kind of getting sidetracked here because this is not about a breakup.
No, this is not
because,
about a breakup.
Like, you can fall out of love with somebody and just go, I'm sorry, I'm not, you know, I know we'd plans and everything, but this is just not for me. And that is fair enough because that's the way the world works. You're just getting out of a relationship that doesn't work. And, you know, as hard and all as it is, that can happen a couple of times.
Yeah, it can.
You know, you can. You get back together and you get back together and it doesn't work, fine.
Mm.
But what he's done is, in his weird psycho way of trying to justify the whole thing to himself, he has tried to poison your family against you.
Oh,
all of that.
The second that happens, there's no road back.
Downright, there's no road back.
Because
never speak to him again.
If you ever, ever forgive him for that, I mean, there's no justifiable reason, even if he's in the depths of depression. I swear, there is no justifiable reason for what he's just done. And therefore, you should not allow that come back into your life, that energy. Definitely not. I mean, the fact that all your friends and family didn't believe him is testament to who you are as a person. So that's where you should be putting your energy.
I've never met... I have to say, I've been very lucky in that I never met a psycho.
Mm.
I never ended up with...
I dated a very controlling person.
Did you, Niamh?
I did.
Oh, I'd say he was gorgeous, was he?
Well, of its time. He was my first serious boyfriend. It was a very big deal, you know, and...
Was he checking his phone and everything?
No, it was before phones.
Jealous.
That's how old I am.
Oh, right.
No, but you know what? He told me what to wear. Told me how to wear my hair. And it's
you were dating a gay man,
yeah,
Niamh.
Very much so.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
It took me a few years to figure that out, obviously, before I had to become an icon.
Yeah, exactly.
To recognize that. But actually,
he's
dead now. But anyway,
it's
a whole conversation. But no, what I'm saying is, right, you would think I didn't kill him. No, but you know what I mean? The thing is, it starts from something small. And often you look at someone like me who's quite strong and you would think it would be very difficult. It comes from small things that are coming in and you make a little room for things because it's obviously about compromise sometimes. And it's real easy to end up somewhere. And I remember waking up one morning not being able to decide what I could wear without his opinion. And that's I am. That's not who I am. Threatening to leave me all the time. It's such an easy road to end up on. And maybe he wasn't like that with anybody else. Maybe I just brought that out. I don't know. I don't care. The point is, And I did that. We broke up, and then I went back because I felt I should. Because
oh right.
And then you go back and you go, holy God, my first decision was right to leave. I have to leave because there's no. I think it's really hard to go back into relationships. I'm not saying it.
I've never done that.
I'm not saying that it doesn't work for some people.
Yeah.
But I just think it's really difficult because you've already set your habits.
I mean, I do sometimes think that it would be good to have like one more little go.
I know.
With somebody that you broke up with. You know, like you're enjoying the house, but you're not paying the mortgage, yeah. as they say.
Oh, we all think of that. But I think, yeah, you're right in that sense. But I think what we are is we're in love with who we were at the time more than the person. Do you not think so?
I mean, well, I think in this case, when you've got like a wedding on the table and you've got, you know, because I guess when you go through a breakup as well, and I do feel that Brian is maybe doing this, he's looking and going, it would have been the perfect wedding. It would have been, of course, everything in hindsight was going to be perfect. That's like when a gig gets cancelled.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh, gig. I would have been brilliant. I would have been fantastic.
Best gig I would have ever done in my entire life.
And in actual fact, you may have had a lovely day.
Yeah.
And then you go back to fighting over who's emptying the dishwasher and all of that stuff.
But I enjoy those fights.
Yeah, I do. There's certain fights. I enjoy a fight. Don't get me wrong. I love a row.
Good row.
But I like a row once.
Oh.
Like when we've had that row, I don't expect to have that row again.
Oh, listen to you.
Yeah. I'm a monster.
Oh, God.
Do you know what I bought?
What did you buy?
I'll tell you what I bought. I was on Temu and I bought one of those little magnetic things that you stick to the dishwasher, which is dirty clean. It's like a little switch.
You never did.
I did.
That's a brilliant
thing. I did. Because then I thought it would...
I love that.
I thought it would be a little assistance.
Listen.
For those of us in our households that just put our dirty dishes into the sink.
Okay.
Just a little assistance for those of us that might need it.
Okay. And by that, you mean boots?
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, she puts her puts her dishes in the sink and it always frustrates me.
I just thought I'd let you know. I know you really want to know this, right?
Go on.
Sorry, Brian. I'll be back to you in a second. You see the day I came back after the Camino? I got 6 loads of washing out on the line. It's a personal best. Just thought I'd tell you that.
I'm very happy for you, Niamh.
Sorry, Brian.
That's almost as interesting as the Camino.
Brian, I'm going to tell you, I am sending nothing but love to you. I think you have done your very best to be open and fabulous, and may you never lose that. Just bestow it on someone more worthy of you.
Exactly.
Does that
and
sound
I
good?
Would say this is done.
Oh, it's done. This Do not entertain any done. Conversation.
Because the one thing this man has done twice, right? Mm-hmm. Now, he may not have meant it the first time and he may have had the best of intentions the second time, but irrespective of that, he has done it. And that is, he's completely gaslit you.
Oh, yeah.
And when you're sitting in front of him again, because if you were meeting him on Saturday, just imagine this for a second. If you were meeting him on Saturday, you know exactly how you'd be feeling now.
Yeah.
You know, you would be thinking about how you're going to present yourself. You'd be thinking about what you're going to say. You'd be planning the whole thing. You'd be nervous about meeting him. And then he would be doing the same. So he would be presenting to you all of the things that you fell for the previous 2 times. And no matter how resistant he was to you or no matter how kind he was to you, your heart would bring you into the exact same place again. And it's just not what you need.
No, it isn't. And, you know, nothing ever takes away from the fact of what he did by sending that text.
Exactly.
I don't care how drunk, depressed, whatever it was, that is so uncalled for.
Yeah, he sounds like an absolute prick.
I know, it's desperate. Desperate.
So, sorry about that, Brian.
I hope things
pick up.
I want to know where you are now. I want to know how well you're doing because I think you're on a good road.
You're on a good road. I tell you what to do. You download Grindr and you start working your way through it. Back on the horse, Brian. Back on the horse. Yeah. Back on the horse and be a vigorous little jockey. Well, I think we've helped.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You know.
It's been wonderful to chat to you again.
I know, Niamh. I missed you so much.
I missed you.
I thought about you.
It's been quite a while.
I thought about you every step. Every step was a choice, I think, about growing.
Every so often you pop into my head and it's going to remember her.
Oh, Vaguely.
You're
with your other women.
It's been wonderful to talk to you. Thank you so much for listening. We would love it if you would subscribe to Head Stuff Plus.
Please do.
We have merch. Go buy yourself a tote. We've got about 50,000.
As many as you can get. I mean, they're not huge. You'd need a few for your shopping.
You would need a few. Yeah. Yeah. There will be a vintage rant out either next week or last week. Who knows? It's always a surprise. It's always a surprise to me.
It's such a moment.
It is. And we will chat to you next week. Bye. Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.